During World War II, a young teenager tried to enlist in the Navy. He was only 15, but he was large for his size. And so when he went in, he had to fill the application out. And on the application, he said he was 16. And when the recruiter looked at his application, he said, "I'm sorry, son, you're too young. You can't fight in the Army." So he left, and 2 months later, came back. He didn't think the recruiter recognized him. And so this time, when he's filling his forms out, he put that he was 17. And the recruiter went through the thing and said, "I'm sorry, son, you're too young to join the Navy." 2 weeks pass. He comes again. This time he's 18. The recruiter looks at the form and says, "Son, we would really love to have you in the Navy. The only trouble is you're aging so fast, I'm afraid we'd have to put you on pension before the war is over." What do we want more than anything else in life? Do we long for more of God? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come and fill this place. Fill each of us to overflowing with your presence. We need your power. We need your impact. We need your passion. Use us to help set others free like you freed us. Reveal the things you want to change in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Today is Ascension Sunday. Let me explain a little bit what that means. So Jesus dies, is in the grave 3 days. He's resurrected. And then for 33 days, he begins appearing to his followers. And then he ascends into heaven. And a week later is Pentecost. So next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday, where the Holy Spirit comes and falls on the followers of Jesus with Holy Spirit fire. And so today is Ascension Sunday. So 33 days, he's been revealing himself to his followers, and then he ascends, and then next week, Pentecost will come. Our passage today is Luke 24, verse 34 to 50. I'm going to read it to you, and I think Ernie's going to get it up there. They were saying, "The Lord is risen indeed," and he appeared to Simon. Then they told him what happened on the road and how he'd been made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it's I myself. Touch me, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. Yet for all their joy, they were still disbelieving and wondering. And he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of boiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to the understanding of the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written, that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead, and on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are the witnesses of these things, and see I'm sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple blessing God. Some wild things have been happening since Jesus' death. It's kind of the stuff that makes your hair stand up on the back of your neck. In the first part of Luke chapter 24, some of the women went to Jesus' grave only to find the stone rolled away. They were perplexed as to what could have happened. Then two men in dazzling white clothes asked them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? But Jesus was dead. They saw him crucified with their own eyes. The angel said, remember Jesus' words when he said he'd be handed over to sinners, crucified, on the third day rise again. The news was too good to be true. It was like winning the roll-up to win, but much better than that. If this was somehow true, it would change everything. These women ran to the disciples, telling all they had seen and heard, but the disciples didn't believe it. It sounded like an idle tale, a cruel joke for all that had happened. Then Peter ran to the tomb, and when he saw the grave clothes, he too was amazed. It's one thing to hear stories from your grandparents, but when you see things with your own eyes, it really moves the needle or the possibilities. Then on the same day, two disciples were on the road to Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, talking about all the crucifixion and pain that it brought. Then a stranger started walking with them and asking them what they were talking about. So they told their walking companion the whole story. At evening, they invited the stranger to stay with them. And as Jesus was breaking the bread, their eyes were opened and they recognized him at once. And the Christ then vanished before their eyes. And the two disciples were so excited, they traveled back to Jerusalem the very night to tell others. And this is where we pick our text up. Luke 24:34. When the disciples hurry back, they tell Peter everything that had happened. And they said, the Lord is risen indeed. How is it possible the dead are raised? Unless maybe that Jesus is God. As the disciples were discussing this, in Luke 24:36, Jesus appears before them and says, peace be with you. How many times in our day could we hear such affirming words? Peace be with you. Often our lives are anything but peace. This is quite startling, as you can imagine, because how does someone who's died appear before you? The disciples' response is that they're startled, alarmed, shocked, dumbfounded, terrified. They think they're seeing a ghost. Luke 24:38, why are you frightened? Jesus says, why do doubts arise in your hearts? This was not the way Jesus' followers thought it was going to play out. It's like they've left the script of the play and they're just winging it now. Luke 24:39-40. Jesus encourages them to physically touch him, saying, ghosts don't have flesh and blood. Verse 41. The disciples were filled with joy while they were still disbelieving and wondering. Unbelievable. Keep in mind, when Jesus dies and is resurrected, the Jewish leaders have spread the rumor that his disciples have stolen his body. Here, Jesus' disciples and Jesus present with them, and they still don't believe it. Sometimes when God works supernaturally in our world, in our lives, it can be hard to comprehend, to actually take it all in. Finally, Jesus eats some fish. Last week I said, who here has eaten fillet of fish? And there were only two people in the whole congregation. Jesus eats fish here. I'm not sure if it was filleted or not. In front of them to further affirm. He was flesh and blood right in front of them. Then in Luke 23:44-46, Jesus begins explaining through the Old Testament from Moses to the prophets to the Psalms how everything was pointing to his death and resurrection. And now because of Jesus' sacrifice and resurrection in Luke 24:47, they're to proclaim to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem, that people could experience repentance and forgiveness for their sin. Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension were to free us from the bondage and weight of sin that was spiritually drowning us. In Luke 24:48, Jesus' followers were to be witnesses of these truths. A witness in a courtroom repeats all they've seen and heard. We are Christians. And as Christ's followers, need to tell others what he has done in our lives. Luke 24:49. Jesus says, and see, I'm sending you what the Father promised. So stay in the city until you've been clothed with power on high. What was the promise? This was the coming of the Holy Spirit in power, the third person of the triune God. In John 16:7, Jesus tells his disciples, but in fact, it is best for you that I go away, because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I'll send him to you. When Jesus walked on earth, he was only at one place at one time. But when the Holy Spirit comes, he will literally be residing in every believer of Christ. One of the reasons that Jesus ascends to the right hand of the Father in heaven is so he can send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to each of us. Luke 24:50. Then Jesus led them as far as Bethany, possibly the Mount of Olives, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. Imagine if we bless the people around us more. Our spouses, our children, our friends, our co-workers, our neighbors, our enemies, instead of cursing them. The blessing of God brings life, affirming value, made in the image of God, created to be in relationship with him. He loves the way he made you. He would not change a thing about your physical characteristics or your personality. There should be a stamp or a tattoo on each one of us saying, made in the presence of God, in whom he's well pleased. Don't go home and tell your parents I said you'd get a tattoo. Made in the presence of God, in whom he's well pleased. As Jesus is blessing them in Luke 24:51, he's carried up to heaven. The text ends in verse 52 and 53 with Jesus' followers worshiping him and returning to Jerusalem with great joy, continually being in the temple, blessing and praising God. First, Jesus blesses the disciples, and now they bless God by worshiping and praising him. 2010, Buddy Armstrong, he works for UPS, United Parcel Services. He was delivering a package to an 84-year-old man's residence when he noticed smoke and then fire. And he called, whatever you call it in the States, 911. And the emergency trucks came and they knocked the door down and they were able to put the fire out. But right away, they were able to quickly discover why there was a fire in the house. It was a sunny day, and there was a magnifying glass, and it was set up in just the right position that the sun went through the magnifying glass and hit some mail that was on the counter. And that's what started the fire. I wonder what our lives would look like, what power would flow through us if we let God's glory reflect through us. I think that we'd be setting more than houses on fire. Why do you think it's important for Jesus to return to heaven, to literally ascend? With Jesus going to the Father, it sets everything in motion for the Holy Spirit to come. On the day of Pentecost, we're going to get an incredible glimpse of what this looks like. They receive power from the Holy Spirit, who now indwells within them, to deal with the junk in their lives. The term sometimes used in Scripture is sanctification. In Galatians 2:20 it says, my old self has been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Holy Spirit empowers us to stop living the old destructive way, the old habits, the old lifestyle with all of its selfishness and brokenness. This is not about willpower or mind over matter. How many times have people said to you, or you said to other people, just get it together. Just stop being stupid. Just make the right decisions. I wish it was that easy. We do have a choice in wanting to change and be different, but we can't do it on our own. We invite the Holy Spirit to guide us daily in our words and deeds and actions. When God fills us, we don't need the substitutes to fill us, like food, sex, drink, money, or power. These potential addictions will never give us what we're longing for, to be loved and accepted for who we really are, and give us purpose in this life. Now, because of the Holy Spirit being with us, instead of being takers, we want to be givers. Instead of being sarcastic, gentle. Instead of pride, exhibiting humility. People who are teachable instead of arrogant know-it-alls. Does this transformation happen overnight? No. It takes time. It takes years to continually learn to submit to the Holy Spirit's direction and ways in our lives. The second part of this empowerment is to tell others about the incredible work that God is doing in us. Once Jesus leaves and the Holy Spirit comes, look what happens to Jesus' followers in Acts 4:13. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness and courage of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the Scriptures. You don't need any special training in the Scriptures at this point. But they also recognized them as being men who had been with Jesus. What set them apart was they had been with Jesus. When we fully choose to embrace an encounter with Jesus, nothing is ever the same again in our lives. I know that we can experience fear when telling others about Christ. We fear rejection or not being accepted, or that someone might think we're a religious freak. We want everyone to like us and think nice, respectable thoughts about us. Acts 17:6, when Paul preached and many were coming to believe in Jesus in the city of Thessalonica, the Jews in the city rounded up a mob against them and said, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also." This does not sound like a tame and mild-mannered approach, does it? When you have good news, who's the first person you call? It's not Ghostbusters. Who's the first person you call? A baby's being born. The grade at school. The engagement. Passing your driver's test. Getting a job. Has anybody here passed their driver's test recently? I saw that hand. The best thing that could ever happen in this life is our encounter with Jesus Christ. In Corinthians 2, 5:14, the Apostle Paul says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we're convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died." That's that amazing baptism imagery again. When Jesus dies and we're baptized, it's like we die to the old life. And when we come back up, just like Jesus was resurrected, we're resurrected to new life. So ask God to give you opportunities to tell others about the difference he's making in your life. Ask for the courage and boldness, and the Holy Spirit will fill you. Trust that God will guide you to people who are hungry to hear the good news that Jesus came to set all of us free from the burden of pain and sin. Let's pray. God, this day we're reminded that you're working in us and you're giving us the desire and the power to do what pleases you. Help us to rely on you, where our trust in you is greater than trusting in ourselves, than even our fears. Fill us with the Holy Spirit power again from on high, so your kingdom could come to earth as it is in heaven. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. Do a couple announcements, a benediction, one more song, then you'll be dismissed. We have youth again this week from 7-8:30 here at the church. Two big events we have. Next Sunday, we only have international workers coming to speak, so don't come. Just kidding. No. So we're going to have a guest speaker next week, and being part of the Christian Missionary Alliance, we try and bring international workers in as many times as we can. And so I believe they're coming from Europe, and so they'll be with us next week. But especially the following weeks after that are very important events in our church community. One is our Grad Sunday, where we celebrate and bless our grads, and we have cake afterwards, and it's a fun time. And then the week after that is our Church Picnic Sunday. We should encourage you to invite people to come to that. Have you ever been in situations where it seemed like a disaster had hit, or all had gone wrong? And then in the stillness and the quietness, God comes. And when he comes, it feels like everything has changed. Nothing's changed in the physical, but everything's changed. As you go under the sign of the cross, and may he fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit, and continue to refill you and refill you. Amen. Oh, thank you. I have all these people waving at me, pointing at everything else, and it's going right over my head. So one of the things that we're doing again is we're having prayer after the service, or at any point in time, we're saying whatever, in the right-hand corner. If you want prayer today, just go that direction and people will pray for you. Thank you. Now we're going to sing.
We're going to sing the doxology. So if you would stand and join us for that, that'd be awesome.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Have a great week, everyone.